Welcome to the Chaotic Neutral Podcast.
Hello there, and welcome to my favorite murder. I'm just kidding. This is not my favorite murder. This is the wildly more popular and funnier Chaotic Neutral Podcast. I almost forgot the name of my podcast there for a second because it has been so long since I recorded an episode. Now, I know what you're thinking. Reyna, I use this podcast to get through my dreary life. How could you leave me hanging for so long? What is wrong with you? The answer to that simply is, I suck. That's pretty much it. Actually, in the vein of what we're going to be discussing today, if you remember, my last episode was all about concerts and music festivals, etc. I was at Bonnaroo like 2 weeks ago, so that's why I didn't record then. And then the week after that, I was on vacation. And none of that is really an excuse because I could have easily pre-recorded, but I didn't. So here we are. I'm here to give you the other half of the music festival episode. Today we are going to be discussing, you know, how to survive multi-day camping festivals. So as I just said, I recently went to Bonnaroo, which is a 4-day festival. You camp out on site. Now the reason I was kind of not sure how many days it is because it all blurs together. And with a lot of camping festivals, you have the option to get there the day before the music actually starts, and you leave the day after. So I think for us, Bonnaroo was like 5 days, 6 days. I don't know, it felt like 4 years. But I went to Bonnaroo with my friend Chandler, because she was the only one of my friends who would go with me. Shout out to Angie and Gabby, who wouldn't attend because of several reasonable reasons. But whatever, I'm not accepting it. Chandler is the only friend I recognize anymore. But anyway, so yeah, let's get into it. So when you go to a camping festival, now this, my experience is generally with like alt-rock flavored music festivals. I think there are some like EDM camping festivals. Maybe, I don't freaking know. I don't do EDM stuff. But I do a lot of alt-rock music festivals. So I will be discussing those particularly. So you camp on site of the festival. Now that doesn't mean you're like sleeping next to the stage. That means that there is a designated section where the stages are. So let's base it on a few music festivals I've been to, Bonnaroo and Firefly. You're in a big pasture or big field, as you non-Southern folk like to call it, a big field. And part of that field is where all the music happens, where the actual festival goes down. So that's gated off, and you go in and out every day, every morning, whatever, however you want to squish it. But I don't know what that meant. But anyway, and you camp outside of that main area. So at Bonnaroo, the main area is called Centaroo, and then there's a bunch of campsites all around it. I'm not going to talk about Bonnaroo a lot specifically, or I'm going to try not to, because I think I'm going to get together with Chandler and do like a post-Bonnaroo podcast, maybe? And that'll probably be next week's episode. So, anyway, yeah, so your camping is outside of the main festival area. They designate campsites. You sleep in those outside all day. And now here's the thing, is it's actually camping. It's not like you're in a 5-star hotel room. You're outside in a tent, sleeping outside with no bathroom, no real bathroom at least. Now, well, granted, that is if you're like me and you're doing this the cheapest way possible. If you're bougie and got those coins, most festivals have like VIP options, RV options, I've seen where the festival sets up the tent for you, and you just show up and walk into your tent, and it's real nice. But those are obviously far more expensive than just the regular camping. So we'll go through how to maneuver that basically from the beginning. So let's start there. You just bought your tickets to the music festival. Now you can get all the info on how best to buy tickets in my last episode. Like we discussed, I do resale a lot. I got my Bonnaroo tickets on StubHub. So yeah, you have your tickets. Now comes the time for planning. That is if you're like me. I am a neurotic planner. I have to have everything set in stone weeks before we go. I can't just, no. I mean, the first time I went to Firefly, I made a freaking PowerPoint presentation for God's sake and showed all my friends. Granted, we were all on the same page and we were ready. So the PowerPoint was effective and did its job. But so I would say start planning a few weeks ahead if you're neurotic, or at least a week ahead if you're just a normal functioning human being. So you have your tickets and you have the group of friends that you want to go with. Group size wise, I think at the most I've been with three other people, so there were four people total in our campsite, and that was great. That was for Firefly, which is 18 hours away, so we divvied up the drive real nice, paid for gas easily. We stayed in a hotel room on the night up because we split the drive into 2 days. But I've seen people do campsites with like eight of their friends. I don't know how people get eight friends, but if you have eight friends, hey, kudos to you, pal. Do it. Take all your friends. The more people, I mean, I'd le at Bonnaroo, I only went with Chandler. So I've done it with one other person, or I've been to a festival with one other person, and I've been to a festival with three other people. It's fun either way. However you split the hair is a good time. So figure out however many friends you want to go and get them together on the planning. Start a group chat and start messaging people. The first thing you're going to want to take care of is whose car you're taking. Now, the vehicle you take depends on your camping situation. I like to take a pickup truck when I can, because it's easy to just fit everything in the bed of that truck and then all the people in the seats, and you're not too cramped up. But if you have like an SUV, your friend has a whatever kind of car an SUV is, you take that sucker. You just need a lot of trunk space, be it inside the car or outside. You need a lot of trunk space to fit all those tents, food, bags, etc. So figure out the car you're taking. It needs to be able to haul a lot of things, and if you're going, I mean, I would say if four-wheel drive is an option, do it, just because you never know, it could pour and then you're stuck in the mud and you have to try and drive out of there, and if you're taking like your friend's Altima, it's not going to work too well. But you know, most people do. That's just me overthinking everything. So yeah, you have your friends, you have your tickets, you have a big vehicle that will hold everything. Now comes time to plan out your campsite layout. Most festivals work on a car tent layout. So you're gonna drive your car into that campsite. They're gonna check your car and make sure you don't have like guns and stuff. And then you're going to pull into your campsite. At Firefly, they make you drive straight into your campsite. And then your tent and stuff is at the front end of your truck, like at the grill. But at Bonnaroo, we pulled in backwards. We backed into the spot. So everything was at the back end of the truck. And then other spots at Bonnaroo, they pulled their car in sideways. But either way, it doesn't really matter. Your typical space is going to involve your vehicle and then your tents. So that's the first part, is your vehicle. The second part, second, so your campsite's typically split into thirds. You've got the vehicle, you've got the hangout area, you've got the sleeping area. The most usual layout would be the vehicle. You've got a 10 by 10 foot or a 12 by 12 foot Easy Up pop-up tent. That's one of those just regular like canopy looking things that you see at peewee football games. You got one of those, and then on the other side of that, the third of your campsite will be your sleeping tent. Now, this can be just a regular tent, like straight up camping tent, or it can be different. Keep in mind, your campsites are typically like regulated to a specific square footage. So before you go to your festival, make sure you read up on the campsite regulations, like how big your campsite's going to be, just so you know that your tent is going to fit, because your neighbors aren't going to like it if your tent overtakes their side of the camp. And you want to be friends with your neighbors. We'll get into that later. So your Easy Up, the hangout area is going to be an Easy Up tent. You're going to need a table for food, cooking, whatever. You're going to need chairs to sit in, to chillax in. Pro tip, get rugs. So on the ground of your campsite, both beneath your Easy Up and beneath your sleeping tent, even if it's a regular camping tent, you're going to want tarps on the ground. This is in case it rains, then you're not walking through mud all weekend. So make sure tarps are at the very bottom of your campsite. And then above your tarps, we always bring rugs because it's annoying to walk on tarps all the time. Gets hot, sticky, gross, dirty. I brought outdoor carpet to Bonnaroo. We bring whatever rugs we can find around our houses, and it just makes everything more comfortable. Full disclosure, every time I go to a music festival, people always call our campsites like the Taj Mahal of camping. So if you don't want to put all this effort into it, you definitely don't have to. But I'm just telling you how I do it. So you've got your rugs. You're going to want, like I said, chairs to sit in, just like fold out chairs. We always bring a camping stove. We cook eggs every morning just to save money that we're not spending on breakfast at the really expensive music festival food trucks and vendor spots. Just two eggs every morning for each of us, and we're ready to roll. I also cook spaghetti at music festivals. The world is your oyster. If you want to cook spaghetti at a music festival, it's definitely possible. I've done it twice. And it was great. Everyone loved it. So get on my level. But food-wise, you know, just think, what am I going to need to survive for 5 days? Another pro tip, bring donut sticks. Little Debbie donut sticks. Those things hit hard, and they are a music festival staple for me. I have to have donut sticks anytime I go to a music festival. It is law. Okay? So bring snacks, chips. We always bring stuff to make sandwiches, because a lot of times sets at music festivals don't start until later in the day, like at the earliest noon. So if you can eat lunch at your campsite, that's even more money that you're saving going in, because then you're only buying dinner inside the festival if you even have to. So bring snacks, stuff to make sandwiches. If you're drinking alcohol, bring the alcohol. I don't, so I can't really give any tips on that end of the stick, but whatever, you do you, boo. That's all you. Bring a cooler. I've read dry ice works the best. I've never used it, but that's just because we always bring Yeti coolers. And Yeti coolers hold a lot of pressure, so I'm scared the thing's gonna explode if we bring dry ice and we don't open it a lot. But anyway, if you don't want to bring dry ice, freeze like a gallon jug of water, because physics, it's going to melt slower than ice cubes. So yeah, that way, even when it does melt, you have water to drink. So yeah, that's going to pretty much cover all your bases food-wise. Also, bring paper towels and like baby wipes. My God, bring baby wipes. So that brings us into the sleeping area. Like I said, you can do a regular camping tent, or if you're going to Bonnaroo, Bonnaroo tends to get hotter than a lot of other music festivals. So they do a kind of alternative sleeping arrangement there. We did it this year and it was great. even though this year's Bonnaroo had the best weather Bonnaroo has ever had, and we were actually like freezing one of the nights. It got into the 40s and Chandler and I were dying. It was so bad. Anyway, so at Bonnaroo, what they do for their sleeping area is they do another easy up tent, and then they just seal the walls with tarps or tapestries. That's another thing, you're going to want to stock up on tapestries, because using them as walls all around the easy ups is fantastic when you want to change your clothes, or if your neighbors are annoying, you can just slide those little walls up, and then what neighbors? You don't see them. Plus, they make good photo op backgrounds. Plus, you just look freaking cool chilling with a bunch of tapestries. Indie AF, man. So, yeah, bring those tapestries, boy. And that was the most obnoxious sentence ever. So, yeah, your sleeping arrangement at Bonnaroo, what we did was we had the easy up tent. One of the walls was a tarp. Two of the other walls were tapestries. Actually, three of the other walls were tapestries. And then we just had tarp on the ground, like I said, in case it rained. And then our air mattress right there in the middle of the tent. It was kind of weird because it felt kind of We felt kind of exposed based, like, compared to a regular tent. But it was really nice because it let a lot of airflow in. And had it been a hot year at Bonnaroo, it would have been excellent. And even with it being cold, it was nice because it wasn't stuffy. At Firefly, when we used regular tents, we would wake up and it'd be humid and wet inside the tent because of our breathing all night. But I still really like regular tents either way. But Bonnaroo, you're going to want to do the easy up tent. If you can't figure out what I'm saying here, just Google it. It'll pop up real nice for you. Lots of pictures. All that to say, actually, before you go to any music festival, Google the F out of it, because you're going to want to know everything you can possibly know. That is if you're me. A lot of people just like going in blind and it's all a fun new experience. But that is not fun for me. I want to know everything I can do and plan my stuff out. So if you're like me, Google things to do inside the festival, you know, prioritize what you want to do and do it. So you have your campsite set up, you've got your sleeping area, your hangout area, all your food, all that jazz. Once you get into your campsite, make sure you can figure out where you are, because it's going to be a late night coming back and you're going to want some kind of landmark to remember where you're at. A lot of people bring their own campsite flags. So you can get like a flagpole on Amazon and then order like a custom flag or whatever you want kind of flag. A lot of people do state flags, especially if they're coming from out of state, and raise that sucker up over your campsite and you'll be able to find it real easy. But I don't ever feel like doing that, so I rely on other people's camp flags. And I'm like, oh, we're next to the Jon Snow flag. Or, oh, we're next to the Ron Swanson flag. You know, it just be like that. And so make sure you can figure out a way to find your camp really easy, because it's going to be like 1 a.m. and pitch black dark when you head back to your tents. I mean, they have lights, but it's not like that bright outside. And so you're going to want some kind of something to tell you where your sleeping habitat is, because by the end of that festival, you're like, please get me in some kind of bed. A lot of people don't even make it that far. I've seen people fall asleep on the ground outside their tent, in a chair outside their tent, whatever floats your boat. Couldn't be me. I want an air mattress. And so, yeah, you have your campsite, you know where it's at. Let's get into the music festival aspect. Now, a 4-day camping festival is going to be a little different experience than like a multi-day like radio station festival or regular music festival that you're going to drive to every day at like an amphitheater or whatever. At multi-day music festivals, they've got multiple stages, and it's not just like one big stage and several small stages. You've got multiple big stages. So the first thing you want to do, find a daily schedule online and figure out what acts you want to go see and when they are and what stage they are on, because it's going to be super hectic. It's going to be a huge area that you're going to have to walk across. You're not going to make some sets. That's just how the cookie crumbles. So figure out what sets you have to make, and prioritize those. If there's a set at like 4:30 that you want to see and you want to be close to, but there's also a set at 3:30 that you want to see, if you want to be close for that 4:30 one, you're going to have to miss that 3:30 one. Most of the time you're going to have to miss that 3:30 one. Sometimes you can luck out and show up right before the set and get kind of close, but you're not going to get super close. The best I've ever done closeness wise was when I saw 21 Pilots at Firefly 2-3 years ago. We really wanted to go see an act that was playing on another stage, two acts before 21 Pilots, but we knew the crowd for 21 Pilots was going to be insane. So if we wanted to get close for 21 Pilots, we were going to have to be there all day at that stage. But we really wanted to go see that other act. So we saw Banks at one of the other stages at like 8 p.m. and then showed up to the 21 Pilots stage when Weezer started. And Weezer was playing right before 21 Pilots. So we used all of Weezer's set to get up front at 21 Pilots. When we walked into the crowd, I mean, it was a crowd probably like 2 football field lengths deep. So like, no. Way more than that. I would say probably like 400 yards of people. And it wasn't like spread out. But we ended up, in by the time Weezer's set was over, we were probably like 6th row. Shout out to the people of Delaware for letting people walk in front of you. In Florida, it's a whole different breed. Those concert goers are rude. They will not let you in front of them, which is understandable. I'm the same way. Like, if you want to get to a set, if you want to be close to a set, get there before it starts. I mean, come on, people. It's just common sense. But even just Florida's ruthless. Delaware, we were like, oh, yeah, we just want to get close. And people would literally move out of the way and tell other people to get out of our way because we wanted to be close. It was wild. But anyway, so if there is a later set in the day that you really want to be close for, get to that stage in the beginning of the day or a good few hours before their set starts and sit there. It's nice at music festivals because you'll see other acts. You'll get to see all the acts that play on that stage for the rest of the day, and then you'll be close for your set. So if you want to see a headliner, let's say, I don't freaking know, Eminem is headlining one of the stages at the end of the night. He's the last act on that stage. You are going to want to get there when the gates open and get to that barricade, and you're going to sit there all day. That's just how it goes. Sit there at that stage all day, and you will be at a great spot for your act. And then you can obviously leave to go use the bathroom and get food and stuff. You're just going to have to make friends with the other people who are waiting at that stage all day. But it's fun. I like camping out. So now at Bonnaroo, things work a little differently. So Bonnaroo has a sectioned off pit for each stage. Every other music festival I've been to, it's just a stage and then an open field in front of the stage, and everything's a pit. You know, there's obviously no seats or anything, but at Bonnaroo, they have the stage and then they have like a barricaded off pit area right in front of the stage. And in between each act, they clear out that pit. So there is no getting to the stage at the beginning of the day and then camping out on barricade. However, they do have a line system. So off to the side of the stage, they'll form lines for each act of the day. So if you're there for the last act of the night, you go sit in that line all day, and then they let you into the pit right before their act starts. The cool thing is you can kind of see this, you can still see the stage from your line. You're just not in the pit. So like we saw the Lonely Island, we were waiting in line for the Lonely Island, and they were the last act of the night, but we still got to see Kacey Musgraves and Juice WRLD and a bunch of other people that I didn't really know or care about. I cared about Kacey Musgraves, but yeah. So Bonnaroo works a little differently, but it's just a regular line system, and it worked out beautifully. So yeah, if you have a headliner that you want to go see, get there well before their act starts so you can get a good close spot, if that's what you want. If there's an act you want to go see but you don't care about being close, show up right before the act starts. Like when I saw Tame Impala the first time, I wasn't particularly beholden to being up close and in the pit for Tame Impala. There are some acts that I feel like just being in a crowd is a good enough spot. You know, you want to be around people that have the energy to dance and are there to experience the show. You don't want to be too far back because it's just the people who are like, oh, we have a lull between sets. Let's just go watch these people. And then they just sit there the whole time and then it kind of brings the energy down. But for Tame Impala, we were just like, let's just get in the crowd so we can be around people that are enjoying it. But I don't really care about being close to Tame Impala. And it was fun. We had lots of room to dance. That's the like one downside of the pit is you typically don't really have a lot of room to move. Except at Bonnaroo, I had a ton of room to move at the pits in Bonnaroo. But yeah, so you just figure out where exactly you want to be in the crowd for a set and plan accordingly. If you want to be close, get there well before. If you don't care about where you're at, show up right before the set starts and walk into the part of the crowd that you want to be in. And it'll work out nicely. So the one big thing about camping festivals that is different from just like a one stage music festival is that you're going to be really freaking tired. No matter what your campsite looks like, you're not going to get a full 10 hours, 8 hours of sleep. If you're lucky, you'll get six, if that, just because the sun's going to be up in your face. Everyone's loud. Oh my God, how did I forget that? Bring earplugs. If you want to sleep at all at night, bring earplugs, because your neighbors are going to be talking until 3 a.m. Other stages are going to be playing music. Neighbors three campsites down are going to be playing EDM until all godly hours of the night. Bring freaking earplugs. Also, bring earplugs into the set. I am already like half deaf just because of how many concerts I've been to in my life. And I keep meaning to bring earplugs into the sets just to reduce some of the damage being done to my ears. But I always forget. Anyway, you can get tinnitus really easily, very young, because you're exposing your ears to the loud freaking music for so long. I mean, if it's like your first music festival or concert, you'll be all right. You're not going to be deaf by the end of it, hopefully. But if this is something you regularly do, at the very least, bring those foam earplugs. You can get a pack of like 12 for $5 at Walgreens. But I'm going to look into getting like specialized headphones that will reduce like the damage done to my ears but still let me hear it. I mean, if you're close to a stage and you have earplugs in, you're still going to hear the music. Don't think like you're blocking out the sound and you're just watching a silent set. You're still going to hear everything. It's just the sound waves aren't going to do so much damage to the hairs inside your ears, and you won't be deaf by 21. But yeah, back to what I was talking about. You're going to be tired every day. So while I am saying plan everything, don't plan to do everything. It's just going to be impossible. You're going to be tired. Your body's, even if you're not mentally tired, your body's going to be exhausted by that final day. If your hips aren't hurting by that last day, then you're a robot, because that's just impossible. You're sleeping on the ground. You're walking miles and miles every day. It's just how the world works at music festivals. You're going to be tired. So do as much as you can in those first few days, but also kind of pace yourself because you don't want to overload yourself. But by those final days, just know that you're going to be wanting to do the bare minimum. But if there's a lot of sets that you want to be really hyped for in those final days, plan accordingly. Pace yourself those first few days so that you know you can go hard on the last few, you know? It's just kind of common sense stuff. But make sure that you have like some kind of energy drink or instant coffee or something. I always bring lots of fruit because fruit gives me a lot of energy and it's good for you. It's not so sugary as Monsters. Unless your name's Kyle, then you better bring those Monsters. So that was a terrible joke. Anyway, yeah, you're going to be tired of these music festivals. That's just the way they go. Bathroom facilities. You're not going in a real bathroom. Bonnaroo has by far the nicest bathrooms I've ever seen at a music festival. Inside the actual music festival part, it was real bathrooms with real toilets, with real stalls, with a real sink, and God, that was beautiful. I washed my hands probably like 6 times a day just because I could. But at your campsites, it's going to be a porta potty. So just make amends with that now, because you're going to be using porta potties the entire time you're at that festival in one way or another. Bring your own toilet paper, because you never know when you're going to end up in a stall and you're going to the bathroom and then boom, you look up and there's no toilet paper and then you're just screwed. So bring your own toilet paper. Plus, the toilet paper in porta potties are like one ply and they suck. So bring yourself some Charmin. Always have that thing on you, you know? And showers. All right. I'm going to keep it real with y'all. I don't really shower at music festivals. The first Firefly I went to, we brought camping showers, which is a great option. However, camping showers are solar heated, which is nice. You slap that puppy on the top of your truck and it'll be warm by like 3 p.m. But you're not really showering at 3 p.m. Anytime you're going to shower, it's either going to be when you get back to your campsite at the end of the day, so at like 1 or 2 in the morning, or first thing in the morning at like 8 a.m. at the latest. But the cool thing about solar camp showers is that they heat up with the sun. But the bad thing about camp showers is when the sun is gone, they are no longer warm. So by the time you get back to your campsite, you're showering with freezing water. I mean, if you're down with that, go ahead. But I hated it, and I know. You can pay for showers. Every festival has like paid shower options, which are like closer to real showers. It's a pipe system that they create, and there's stalls that you shower in. Bring freaking flip-flops if you're going to do that. You do not want to walk in there barefoot. My God, the diseases. But anyway, those are typically going to run you $5 to $10 each shower. And if you're showering every day, that's like $50 that you're spending on showers. I just am cheap and I'm not going to do that. So bring baby wipes. At Bonnaroo, we never showered. At Firefly the second year, we bought showers. But this last year at Bonnaroo, like I said, it wasn't really hot, so we didn't get too sweaty. And we just used baby wipes to wipe ourselves down every day. I am really big about skincare on my face, though. So I did bring a bucket to fill with water, and I wash my face every night and every morning because I ain't getting no pimples because of that dirt in the air. But I did not shower, and I mean, I wasn't too bad by the end of the week, but by the end of the week, I was ready to freaking shower in a real shower for free in my home. But, yeah, I mean, if you need to wash your hair, you can do that with bottles of water. I washed Chandler's hair for her. We'll talk about that in the next episode. But, yeah, showers, just make peace with the fact that you may not shower the entire time you're there. If you have to shower when you're there, bring money to do so. Because you ain't getting a free shower. Or get a camping shower if you don't care about showering with freezing cold water. Camping showers have terrible water pressure. But, hey, what can you do? Beggars can't be choosers. So yeah, that's the shower and bathroom situation. We got food covered. We got the actual festival part covered. Your sleeping arrangements covered. Clothes. No matter where you're going, it's going to be freaking hot. So plan accordingly. Wear what you want. Who cares what you're wearing? If you're a girl and you're worried about looking skanky, who freaking cares? I guarantee you, some girl there is going to be wearing less clothing than you are. I can't tell you the number of women I saw walking around in thongs and pasties in my time as a music festival veteran. Who cares? Wear your crop top. Wear your shorts. If you're worried about what your body looks like, don't be. You're going to look fierce. You're going to kill it. You're going to look awesome. And as you walk around, you're going to get complimented. Because that's the good thing about music festivals. When you come out stunting on these hoes, someone's going to be like, girl, you look good, and you're going to feel awesome. So wear what you want. It's going to be hot. If you want to wear a bralette, wear a bralette. If you want to wear like some kind of lingerie looking top, do it. If you want to wear your
cut off Levi's. Do it, girlfriend. You do you, boo. Dudes, if you want to walk around without a shirt on, you're going to look like a douche, but do it. I'm just kidding. I can't really... It's just... I wish I could walk around without a shirt on, you know? I envy men in that ability. The typical men attire at music festivals is an unbuttoned Hawaiian top and, like, chubby shorts or swim shorts. That's just what everyone wears. Oh, or a basketball jersey. I swear to God, every store that sells a basketball jersey or a Hawaiian shirt within a 5-mile radius of... No. Within a 50-mile radius of whatever music festival is happening is sold out weeks before. Because every man in the world going to that music festival is wearing a Larry Bird jersey or a orange and yellow Hawaiian print button-up. So, just... Y'all put a little more creativity in your outfits. Sorry, that was judgmental. No, I'm not sorry. Wear something different. You don't have to wear basketball jerseys or baseball jerseys. Do something better. Anyway, wear what you want. It's going to be hot. Be comfortable because you're going to be walking around and sitting all day. I am the type of person that prioritizes style over comfort. So I got those denim wedgies all day, but hey, I look good, so who cares? But if you can't handle that, wear something comfortable because you're going to be active all day and it's going to suck if you're chafing. Shoes. Like I said, you're going to be walking around a lot. The best shoes I have ever worn for walking long distances are Doc Martens. The soles of those are fantastic, and since they're boots, they're going to be rugged enough for you to wear to those music festivals. Do not wear nice shoes to camping festivals. You're going to be in the dirt all the time. You're going to be in the mud constantly. You're going to step in people's vomit. You're going to step in beer. You're walking through nasty stuff. I wouldn't recommend open-toed shoes. You couldn't pay me to wear open-toed shoes to a music festival. But some people wear those Chacos and they swear by them. That's not me, Chief. Doc Martens are your best bet. However, do not get a brand new pair of Doc Martens right before you go. If you're going to wear Doc Martens, they need to be broken in. So I'd get them like at least 2 weeks before the festival and wear them every day so that they're broken in and soft by the time you get to that festival. Because those are going to be your best friends. They're going to protect your ankles. They're going to protect your toes from getting stepped on. They're going to protect your feet from being in nasty substances, etc. Wear boots. That's my 2 cents in the matter. Doc Martens if you can. If you can't, just get some combat boots. Just know if you get cheap combat boots, they're going to be destroyed by the end of the week. I've gone through 3 pairs of boots at music festivals. I get a new pair every year, and then I just know that they're going to be dead by the music festival I wear them to that year. Because I just recently got my first pair of Doc Martens, and I know that they'll last me through music festivals. But if you're getting a cheap pair of combat boots, just know that they're going to be dead by the end of that week. I've literally walked at Firefly 1 year. I had to tape the soles of my boots to my feet with bright blue duct tape because I didn't have any other shoes that I could wear, and I just had to do what you had to do. That's another pro tip. Bring duct tape because you will need it in some way, shape, or form. And zip ties. So, anyway, back to the discussion. Doc Martens if you can. Cheap combat boots if you can't. Chacos if you're down, I guess. I don't really know. Like I said, not my way of life. I don't want my toes exposed to people's heels. So yeah, that's pretty much your clothing covered. Wear what you want. Bring a hat. It gets hot. Bring sunscreen. My God, I can't tell you the number of people I've seen with very obvious sun poisoning. Bring sunscreen. Get one of those little keychain clip ones and put it on your camelback on your way into the festival. That way you can re-up your sunscreen when you actually get into the festival part and you don't have to go all the way back to your campsite to reapply sunblock on your shoulders. Also, bring deodorant into that festival. Old Spice, High Endurance will be your best friend. It doesn't melt and you can reapply those sweet scents to your armpits when they inevitably get disgusting throughout the day. So, yeah, that I think pretty much covers all of the pro tips for a multi-day camping festival. I know you guys are taking notes. I expect you to send me your Cornell notes in my Instagram DMs. I want to see everything you've written down because I know that you are studying this podcast diligently, dadgummit. In terms of like non-camping festivals, like Lollapalooza, I went to Lolla last year, and you don't camp. You just stay in Chicago around that area. I can't really give you any tips for getting a hotel because when I went to Lolla, I stayed with a friend. So, I mean, pro tip, get a friend in Chicago if you're going to Lolla so you don't have to pay for a hotel. But if you're going to Lolla and you have to, or somewhere where you have to get a hotel and stay off site, do it months in advance because all the good hotels are going to be booked up real quick. So if you're doing it last minute, sorry, Chief, good luck to you. But Airbnbs are the move because they're so nice. Uber's your friend. Those little electronic scooters that cities have now are also your friend. But Lolla is, city festivals are different because it's a lot of concrete that you're walking on. So make sure you bring comfortable shoes for that. Because at least at other music festivals, you're walking on grass, so it's a little softer. But at Lolla, you're on concrete a lot of the time, and it sucks. I couldn't, like, no joke, I could not walk for 3 days after I got back from Lolla because the shoes I wore just were not good enough for that activity. And just standing on that concrete for so long every day was detrimental to my feet and my lower back. I seriously was bedridden for 3 days after Lolla because I could not walk. My feet hurt so badly. Oh my God. That was like the worst pain ever. But I survived and now I know what not to do. And I'm here to tell you all, if you're going to Lolla, wear Docs or other comfortable like orthopedic shoes. Because God, that one's rough. But, oh, another tip. If you're getting merch from the festival, do it on the first day. Because they will sell out of your size by the third. And definitely by the last day. All the stuff you want is going to be gone. So get your merchandise for the festival the first day. Take it back to your campsite. Put it in your vehicle. Call it a day. A lot of bands, though, like if you're getting band tees, a lot of times artists only sell their merch on the day that they're performing. So if you're getting festival merch, do it the first day. If you're getting artist merch, check the first day. If it's not there, it'll be the day that they perform. So, yeah. I think that is all of the bases covered. I did not have notes for this or else it would have been a lot more organized. But whatever. If there's one thing that we've learned in this journey of a podcast together, it is that while I say that I am a planner and neurotic about having everything in order, when it comes to this podcast, that could not be further from the truth. This is really just me speaking while looking at the little sound waves on my GarageBand for now 43 minutes. So anyway, I hope you guys liked that experience. Next week, I will be here with Chandler and we're going to talk about Bonnaroo, hopefully. If I can get Chandler to meet up with me. Who knows? We'll see. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Follow me on the gram at @BeatUpSneakers or on Twitter at Raina Parks, spelled phonetically. Whatever. Anyway, I hope you guys like my podcast. Please share it. Please give it 5 stars on Apple. Please share it on Instagram through Spotify. Send it to your mom so you can tell her what a podcast is and that she should listen to mine. This has been Chaotic Neutral for another week. God bless you all for listening to the sweet tones of my voice for this long. I will see you all next week. I promise. I'm actually going to do it this time. Adios!